Hey, what's up, everybody? It's your boy, Christopher Terrence Jones. Welcome to another episode of the Christopher Terrence Jones Show. Can we talk? It's another day. I hope you guys are washing your hands. I hope you guys are staying in place. I hope you are sheltered in the house and doing social distancing because this thing is real, whether you realize it or not. Take this time right now. Share the podcast. Share. Tell a friend, all that good stuff. Subscribe on Apple, iHeart, Google, Spotify, all those places. Because you know, I bring it when I bring the show. And just another day today, I have an amazing guest on the show with me today. I am so juiced. So you have to share this because you don't want to miss out. This amazing single mom. Let me say that because I want y'all to get that part. This single mom is on my show today. And her name is Kaywanda Lamb. Say hello to Kaywanda Lamb. Listeners all over the land. All that good stuff. Hello, beautiful. How are you?
Hi, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for that intro. Hey, y'all.
It is amazing to have you here. I am juiced. You are the single mom brand. That is just the thing. That's a brand now. People don't even know that.
Thank you, Chris.
You have taken it and making it a brand and encouraging single moms to get out and do stuff and build themselves up and elevate themselves, especially during this time.
Absolutely.
So you guys, y'all know I'm always on trying to build this Instagram thing. Y'all know, like I say, it's my slow fall. But as I was coming along, I came across Kaywanda and I was like, I like this. So I shared her post. You guys will see that a while back. If you scroll back, I shared her post. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. She's inspiring. Oh. So then when I said, okay, I'm on lockdown now. Let me start booking guests and get some shows ahead here so that I'm not in a bind. And I reached out and I asked her and she said, yes. Do y'all know how juiced I was? Do y'all know? I'm juiced because I'm honored. You know, I love a good author, a good woman who holds her own, an entrepreneur. I love that. And it's amazing. So I want her to talk about her single mom brand. That's what I want y'all to get out of today. And I want y'all to get out how to write a book in a weekend. I want y'all to get those two big things. So Kaywanda, tell the people a little bit about how you started and about you.
Wow. Well, I mean, can I follow that intro? So, hey, everybody. My name's Kaywanda Lamb, as he mentioned. And I go by the name The Winning Single Mom because who wants to lose? I mean, let's be clear. And so I actually started in 2013, Chris, from just a blog. It used to be called the Do It Anyway blog. I literally woke up one day in December of 2013. It was like God dropped it in my spirit. Tell your story. And I got online, figured out how to start a blog, started that blog that day. And it was really in the beginning called Single Parenting is Hard, right? So what I wanted to do was say, hey, it's hard, but here are the pluses. It's hard, but do it anyway. And so I would end every post with do it anyway. And so I became known as the Do It Anyway girl because it was that mantra to push forward, to not let life get you down, to not worry if somebody rejected you or divorced you or left you to raise your kids. You know, I'm a Christian and I'm a God lover. Okay. My second book is a devotional because I realized that, you know, it was God that kept me through all those hard times and the difficulties and all that stuff. And it's him that helped me to become the woman that I am today. So anyway, as I was telling my story, I realized that, okay, but I don't want women to be depressed. I don't want women to say, oh, well, yeah, let's all commiserate together. There are enough spaces on the internet for that. And so when that idea dropped in my spirit, I knew it was him. And so I began writing and I began sharing. And, you know, that led me to one day people saying, so when is the book coming out? And I was like, how did you know I wanted to write a book? So long story short, it took me about a year and a half of research and of starting and stopping and, you know, things getting in the way. And finally, one day I said, you know what, I'm going to finish this book. And that's my first book. It's called Do It Anyway, The Single Mom's Guide to Living Life and Achieving Her Goals. And Chris, when I tell you it's thebomb.com, it's thebomb.com. I wrote that book in 2015. Today, this book sells on Amazon all around the world because God, you know, he was in it. And I looked to see what was out there, and I didn't want a book that just made us feel good. I wanted a book that showed us how to thrive. And so, yes, I'm plugging me, but it's legit if you check it out, right?
Oh,
and
plug so, all the way. Plug all the way. Yes.
Well, so I'll tell you a little bit about my story as to how I got to this joy, because, you know, I wrote that first book in 3 weeks. And then the second book I wrote a year later, the same time of year in December, I wrote it in a weekend. And my last book that I published is actually a planner, but it's workbook style. I published it this January. So I was trying to make sure it was December again as well, right? But we had a few issues with Amazon. And so it got delayed in being published. But I will tell you that one thing I've learned how to do is how to concisely tell my story, make sure that it reaches the people it's intended to, and to make sure that it's transformational. So I don't write fluff. I don't write garbage.
Right.
And you know, I don't take people's money and then not leave them with some type of transformation. And so that's what I wanted to do. You talk about how to write a book in a weekend. That ebook idea came to me a few weeks ago, and I literally finished that ebook in a few days. And then I released it, and it has been blessing me and my boys. And it's been blessing the people that have acquired it. And it is the tried and true wisdom that I've gained over the last 5 years. It is exactly what to do. And it takes you a step further and then a step further and a step further. It's not that you have to go buy something else. It's, you know, where do you publish? How do you publish? What do you need? Okay, where to take payments, you know, all of this stuff. And so I did that because I realized that we're all in a new normal. We're in a scary place. You know, people who still have their jobs, that's a blessing. I'm an entrepreneur, so I don't work for the people, I work for myself. And I said, okay, so how do I help women who may lose their jobs? How do I help my single moms, right? How do I help them take what they know and create something? How do I sell them something that's low cost, but they're able to create something that makes them a lot of money? Does that make sense?
Yes, exactly.
And that was something I was, and Chris, that was something I was willing to do. See, there are people who are selling this information for thousands.
Yes.
And I could do that. And one day I will, right? But for right now, I said, how can I be a blessing? And God just dropped it in my spirit. Like literally one day he dropped it, the step by step. And I said, okay, God, I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to do it. And when I tell you that it has been a blessing, people have been writing into me saying, oh my God, I've been working on a book for years. I've been thinking about writing all year. I've tried and I've stopped. And now I finally have a process. And this one girl was like, I have chapters done to my book. Thanks to you.
Wow. So,
anyway, that's what I'm up to. And I'll let you ask me more questions, but I wanted to say that because I think that this is an interesting time of where we really need to get clear on why we're here. Like, yes, it's scary. Yes, a lot of stuff is going on. Yes, we need to be safe. I love that in your intro, you shared about social distancing and what we need to do. But I also believe that God is telling us, especially as Christians, like this is a time for us to get close to him, to seek him, and to make sure that we're about his business and about the purpose he's given us. And so I know ever since 2013, I've been called to single mothers. I can talk to women. I do that often, you know, when I speak at conferences and all this stuff. But I know that I've been called to talk to the brokenhearted. I've been called to talk to the woman who is like, I don't even know how I'm going to make ends meet. Listen, if there's something that I know how to do, I know how to make a dollar out of 15 cents. You know what I'm saying? And make it look good.
Exactly. But that's because it's your testimony. You
absolutely
live.
Absolutely.
You can only write about something and find a passion in something that you've been through.
Yes.
Because if you didn't live it, you can say it and happen, but the passion comes from actually being in it and making it out because you overcame.
Amen. That's by the blood of the Lamb. I'm not going to make it churchy, but.
And see, I want you to plug yourself because, see, ladies, when you go, and or gentlemen, let's say gentlemen too, if you go out and you purchase her book, when you go back and you write your book and it's self-published, I'm going to give you the opportunity and the platform. I'll have you on the show so that you can give credit back to the amazing, amazing K. Wanda Lamb. You have to give it all back to her because she's going to give the glory to God because that's where it came from. So there's this cycle and you just follow in the cycle. It's all you got to do. But you got to encourage somebody else along the way. So
thank you.
So let's talk about the part when
when I became a single mom.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Let's talk about the dirty details. I knew this where you were going.
We gotta talk about that.
Okay. Y'all want my story? Here we go. I was a good girl and a church girl. That's what I thought. And later on, you know, God revealed some things over the years to me about why, you know, this had to happen. So I grew up in small town Louisiana. My mom was a single mom. She didn't graduate high school. She got pregnant at 15 and had me at 16. And we were raised together by my grandmother and grandfather. My mom went on to have four more children still living with her parents. And my mom was beautiful. She still is. She was a beautiful woman. And, you know, I'm sure she won't mind me telling her business. But, you know, from my perspective, as I watched her growing up, we kind of grew up as sisters because she was a kid when she had me. I felt like she was, you know, she was this beautiful woman and she expected to marry and not have to, you know, do much. Right. Well, she was a great homemaker and a provider in that way. But I felt like her goal was to marry well. And so that didn't happen for her. She ended up, you know, having to raise five kids, still living with her parents. She became the caregiver for her parents. Both of them eventually passed away, my grandfather first and then my grandmother. And then that's when my mom and I began a relationship. So I said all that to say, growing up, I did not want to be a single mom. I wanted everything opposite of it. I wanted to finish high school. I wanted to go to college. I wanted to get a great education. My grandmother told me I can be anything I wanted to be, and her wisdom and support and guidance. And the things she instilled in me is why I'm who I am today. So she taught me to cook at 9. I was running the household by the age of 14. I was baking and, you know, taking care of everything. She wanted us to be self-sufficient. So a lot of who I am comes from Teresa Lamb, right? Even in my first book, there's a whole chapter that I, you know, I talk about my grandmother. And so anyway, I tell you that part to say, when I went to college, I was a virgin. I was, you know, like I said, the good girl, grew up in the church. I didn't even want to have, like, my neckline had to be high. You know, of course, everything was to my knees. I grew up Kojic and Baptist. Okay. Can you believe that? So our home church, I know, crazy, right? Our home church was Baptist. And then we would visit my cousin's Kojic church. So I know how to worship both ways. Right. And so what happens is when I'm in a Baptist church, I'm probably worshiping like I'm Kojic. See what I'm saying? And that's okay. That's okay. I'm like, y'all gonna get this praise today. Yes. And so I thank God for my upbringing, but I did have, and I didn't know it, but I had a little disdain for my mom because we, you know, were poor and I didn't know it, you know, I didn't know until I was filling out applications for college. And I was like, all we made this year was 10 grand. Like, how have you been taking care of like 8 people on 10 grand? Like my mom, 5 kids, her parents, 8 people live in this very nice 4-bedroom, 2-bath home that my grandmother bought, making $3.50 an hour, you know? So this is where all of this, I know how to make a dollar out of 15 cents comes from. I know how to survive. I know how to live. I know what to do with what God gives me. And so anyway, I go off to college. God blesses me with great grades. And, you know, I get to go on scholarship and grants. And everything's going great until my senior year when I meet my kid's dad. I'm not expecting to lose my virginity. I want to get married when I'm, you know, 30 and I want to have kids then. And, you know, but let's just say, you know, I fooled around and hung out too late one night, right? So I end up getting pregnant by this guy after a couple times and happened at night, right? So obviously I went back. I must have got good to me. I went back. And so I'll keep it real. And so, but what happened is I thought, okay, he's a football player. He wants to go pro. I want to support him in that. I was living off campus at the time, had my own apartment. And I was graduating in the spring. So before I even graduate, now I'm pregnant. So how did all this happen, you know? And so I'm still like, okay, I'm grown. I have my own place. I have my own job now. This is going to be okay. My family was livid. I mean, they wanted to like whip me. My mom even said, "You're lying. I'm going to get the belt." I was like, "You can't whip me. I'm 20 something years old. You're going to hurt my baby. You know, listen, we're country. When I say small town Louisiana, I'm talking about blacktop roads and bare feet, okay? Whoa. And so, listen, playing red light, green light, you understand, and loving it. Bare feet. And so, but to know me, you would be like, oh, that's how you grew up, and that's who you are. You're a country girl at heart because you're so, yeah, I know how to move. And every environment you put me in, you understand, corporate America, church, wherever you want to put me, I know how to move.
Yes.
And so that's because I had a grandmother that groomed me for life. Like I said, I know how to have different conversations. I speak Spanish. I've, you know, traveled around the world. And all of this from a small town upbringing. Why? Because God put something in me, even though that's where I was, I always knew that wasn't where I was going to be forever. Even if people around you don't see it, when you know that God has more for you, and even in the sins and the falling down that we do, I knew when I got pregnant out of wedlock, when everybody was talking about me and all the church folks were mad and disappointed, I knew that God still loved me, that he had grace for me, that he forgave me, and that I was still going to get up. I was going to raise this baby, and I was going to still serve God. You know, and so for anybody out there that's going through that, you can't let what people think and what people say stop you. So I go on to have the baby, and I didn't know at this time that this dude was like a ho-ho. So, you know, I won't call his name. You know, my story doesn't have anything to do with him, but this little part has something to do with him. And so I end up breaking up with him because the job I was working on, I found out that seven of the women on my job, this dude was fooling around with, like, it was more than that. Like, seven, I counted seven. I counted seven, like, you know. And what's funny is a lot of these people I had thought were my friends. Like, we were hanging out in circles. I'm talking about, I thought I had, like, good work friends and all that. So anyway, what I learned was that you can be a good person doing all the things you think, and life can happen to you. The rug can be pulled from up under you. And I had my part too, right? You know, I made some choices as well. And so, but I had to choose to love my baby. So by the time I'm pregnant with the second child, which neither were when I wanted to, I did not choose to be pregnant. I did not want to be pregnant. I'm like, listen, sir, we're supposed to be wrapping this up, pulling out something, right? And so today these boys are 18 and 20. My youngest will be 18 this Thursday. And I'm so glad I had them, and God has kept us every step of the way. But so what ensued after that, sir, was 3 years of arguing, fussing, fighting, back and forth. It was sheer hell. And I was trying to co-parent with this dude. It was like it just kept getting worse. I'm like, I was a virgin. I haven't slept with anybody else. You're the father of my children. I didn't even know how to have sex until I met you. Right. And so I can't be this money hungry whore you're telling me about. I just need you to help me with the kids. So why are you saying these things? So anyway, it was a lot of that back and forth. And I realized that I was going to have to make sure me and these boys were taken care of and that we had what we needed. And so, you know, I was the one that moved us from a one bedroom apartment to a three bedroom townhouse. You know, I'm the one that made sure that my kids had, I'm the one that made sure my kids ate. I'm the one that made sure when they were sick, I was there. You know what I'm saying? And it hurt me to my heart for years that they didn't have their dad present, but I kept the doors open. And so I will tell you to this day, it took him 7 years to see them. He came when the oldest was 13 for his 13th birthday. And then he came when the oldest graduated at the age of 18. And I had to release myself from that. So for all the women out there who feel bad about my kid's dad isn't in their life, or he's not helping, or I chose the wrong person, or why did I do that? You can stop beating yourself up, because we are not in control of what other people choose to do. When I say I kept lines of communication open, he has their cell phone number and mine, because I haven't changed it in all these years. We moved to Texas 14 years ago. I still have the same phone number. When something has happened with him, I've always contacted him. Yes. And so what's funny is my son was saying his dad called him this week and, you know, was messaging with them, and they found out they had two, three other siblings we didn't know, you know, and, you know, so they're Chris has put a towel over his face for those of you who can't see this. And, you know, and so what I'm saying is I learned over the years after I went through that 3 years to forgive, to release, to let go.
Yes.
To understand that people have their own journeys. They have their own stuff that they need Jesus. God took me from a place of anger and bitterness to being able to forgive this man. And forgiving him didn't mean that I needed to allow him in my space.
Right.
Didn't mean that I needed to take him back.
Right.
I needed to continue in that foolishness. I had to forgive for me so that I can let go of the anger. And so I got into Spanish. I actually was working for a mortgage company and they needed people to talk to their Spanish speaking customers. And I said, well, I've had Spanish in college with my business degree. And I went back for Spanish. They paid for it. I fell in love with it and left the mortgage company and started teaching. And so that's how I have this other business where I teach entrepreneurs and small business owners Spanish. It's called SpanishForSmallBusiness.com. And so I tell you this story because God opened doors. When I tell you, he will take you through the pain, the drama. If you hold on and you say, but I serve you, but I love you, but I'm seeking you. What's next? What do you have for me? The second chapter in my first book is called Find Your Why, because it's so important for us to know why we're here and what God has called us to do. And so he opened that door. I moved to Texas. Me and these boys have had bliss and blessing and peace. And I've gone on to date. I met a guy that I almost married, thought about marrying. But I understand that marriage is service. And I had to decide, do I want to serve this dude or do I want to wait on what I know is really out there for me? You understand? I knew I was going to be a servant. I wasn't so sure about him. You understand? I think he wanted a maid and, a sex toy and, a trophy and all that stuff. Can I say things like that on your podcast? I apologize.
You can say whatever you want. It's called Can We Talk?
Okay, so as you can see, I got a long story, so I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to let you talk.
No.
Answer your question.
I want them to understand because they need to understand as the single mom brand, you went through it. You
hell.
Went through what they were going
hell.
Through.
Hell.
You don't call it
absolute
hell.
Yes. Hell. I thought I was going to lose my mind, Chris. I was so worried. When I tell you, I ended up having kids for a dude. I was like, I didn't even love this dude when I was having sex. Some kind of way it transitioned into now I'm in love. This is my all in all. And now I'm brokenhearted behind this person I'm pregnant for. We have a baby. We're supposed to have the big house and a white picket fence. And, his parents were great grandparents. And that also shielded me from a lot of stuff that I didn't see. Plus I was young and naive, I wasn't as experienced as other people. So there were things that I was hearing and I gave him the benefit of the doubt. And, so all those things were happening. And so just when it all hit the fan and I'm like, but I'm pregnant for you and with a second child and I'm a good person. And how did this happen? I want you to reconcile that if you're out there and you're saying, how did this happen to me? And God must not love me. And, all these things. I also had to realize, Chris, that I made a choice to go to that boy's dorm room that night. I could have made a choice to say no. You understand?
Yes.
I made some choices. You see what I'm saying? And, that doesn't take away the things that he did, but at the same time, I had to own my part in it. And then I also had to understand that there was forgiveness for that too. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And God made it so that before I left that mortgage company, all those women that were making fun of me and ridiculing me and coming by my desk and smiling in my face and telling me about how he had been to visit them that weekend and had my baby with him when I thought he was taking the baby just to his parents and they were hanging out and, all that stuff they did to break me. God, instead of fixing them, he fixed me. God sat me right next to this girl, one of the main women that he was sleeping with. She had a beard. I was like, why of all people are you sleeping with somebody who has a beard and a mustache? But okay. Ooh. So that means she was special for you, right? Come on, girl. If you got a beard and a mustache, ladies, I love you. God bless you. No, that's your thing. I get it. But anyway, I sit next to this lady and she is messing with me for weeks and months. And I am listening to my Dietrich Haddon. Let me tell you something. That Dietrich Haddon CD took me through. That was like 06. And, in between calls, because I was in customer service. And I was sitting there. And one day, like every day, everything in me wanted to curse her out, wanted to fight. Like I could just see it. I could just see me pulling her out of her cubicle and going at it. But common sense said, the dude's still gonna be with her. And what's gonna happen when you lose your job? You and your kids gonna have to go back and live with your mom. And now you've ruined your career and your reputation. Why would you do that, right? Behind some dude you don't even want anymore. So of course I had to listen to, you know, common sense. And I just kept saying, God, but why, but why, but why? And one day I came in and she was up to her same old tactics, and something in me had changed. God had shifted my spirit to forgiveness, to being able to see these people are sick. They're, you know, they're addicted to sex. They're doing everything and anything with everybody. And you need to be so thankful that you're not a part of this. So what was the reason for all of this? God gave me two babies. It's yet to be seen what these two boys are going to do. But guess what? I have them. I love them. I've raised them. They've turned out to be some good boys so far. And all I do know is I've done my part. You know, if he didn't do his, I've done my part. And when I left that job, I was able to tell that girl, God bless you. I hope you have an amazing day, right? And I hope y'all get y'all lives together, because I'm out of it. You see what I'm saying? And so I haven't looked back since, only to tell
this story. Not once, bro. You didn't pop just one
I
time.
Didn't pop
just
her go, not
bam,
once.
Bam. Just bam, I did, bam.
I didn't, because, you know, I won when I released that evil off of me. See, they were trying to bring me down into their muck and into their dirt. And yeah. I wasn't going to do it. I had gotten dirty enough. It was time for me to get clean, get free, and to move on to what was next for me. And so if you're tempted to go and fight the other woman, listen, let me tell you something. He was a good 220. If I wasn't going to fight him, I didn't need to put my hands on her. You understand?
Right.
Listen.
He played a major part in that.
A major part. And I knew I wasn't going to win if I went up against him. So and so for those of you who don't know, I'm like 5'11". You know, on a good day, I'm probably like 143. I was not going to win. You understand?
So you got past all that and you showed how strong you were. How did you end up in Dallas? Or do you have family in Dallas?
And you know what? This is what I'm telling you. So I taught Spanish. Well, I taught English, actually. I went for the Spanish job and I taught English and reading in a small city in Louisiana first for like a semester. And what happened was I had my Spanish degree, but I didn't have the teacher certification. So they were like, listen, while you're studying to take the teacher certification test, if somebody else applies for this job, we're going to have to hire them. I was like, I just taught your students for a whole semester. I love y'all. Y'all love me. The kids love me. I'm planning to come back. My family's here. What do you mean you have to give somebody that job if they come and apply for it before I can get the test done? Wow. So I started looking around, and when I tell you it was a God door. I had a friend who lived in Arlington, Texas, and so I came out to stay with her for the weekend and go on this interview on a Friday. And when I met this principal, one of my most favorite people in the world, we had a 2.5 hour interview. I looked up. Wow. I was like, it's dark outside. I gotta go. And me and this man clicked and connected so much. And of course he offered me the job, and I said, let me think about it. And so I could not sleep that whole weekend hanging out with my friend out in Texas. I was like, I believe God is telling me to move. And I realized that I had a choice to make, Chris. I'm from small town Louisiana. I've always had ideas and dreams and vision that were bigger than the area that I came from.
Yes.
And the people that were around me. And like, I'm not trying to be, you know, fancy or whatever, but I'm saying I've always known that I was different and that God would use me in some way. But how was I going to get to that? I had to make a move. You see what I'm saying? So if I stayed in small town Louisiana, I would still be there. I would have had to date from the same dating pool from all the guys who knew him, who dated all the other people. You know, you get what I'm saying? It's just a recycling. And I didn't want that. I wanted new. I wanted fresh. I wanted more opportunity. I wanted better. And so what I realized is, let me start looking around. And when I looked around, the small school in Texas invited me out. They were going to fly me out. I said, nope, I want to drive because I want to see where I'm coming to. So I drove, and this is in the era when we didn't have GPS, only MapQuest when you print the printout from the computer. So I called them and I'm like, I think I've passed y'all. And the guy is like, what do you see? I said, I think I see wheat fields. And he was like, nope, keep coming. It was dried corn, but that tells you how much I knew, right? And so I taught at that little small school for 3 years. Those people gave me anything I wanted. I was able to make so much progress. My boys flourished. I met one of my best friends as one of my best friends to this day. Like, God gave me people. So when I wrote this book, I wrote this book from that perspective. My first chapter is called Heal, which is what I'm talking to you about right now. I had to heal. The second chapter in Do It Anyway is called Find Your Why. I found my purpose. I figured out the thing that sets my heart on fire. You see what I'm saying? And I had the courage to go and do it. And then number three is Find Your Tribe. There are 12 steps to getting to the life of where you're doing it anyway, and you're achieving your goals and you're rocking out the single parenting thing. But it's based on what I did. Right? And it's what I've seen other women do and what I've coached other women into doing. And I'm telling you, the sooner you can release people that have hurt you, ooh, the sooner you can let it go, the sooner God can show you what's next.
Because you got to let it go. Ooh, you got to let it go. It's hard, but you got to let it go. Oh my God, you got to let it go. You want to string them sometimes. You want to kill them.
Oh, let me tell you, I've had moments since then where I was just like, God, I'm gonna walk around the corner and I'm gonna drag her by her hair. I'm gonna do it. And he's like, this does not represent me well. This is not what we're gonna do today.
Oh my God, I'm telling you.
I got stories, but you know, I don't want people to remember the people who hurt me. I don't want you to remember that from this story that I'm telling. Mm-hmm. I want you to remember that I had to own my part. And then I had to forgive, and I had to let go, and I had to move on to say, I'm not going to sit in this muck and this mire and this foolishness. I'm going to choose something different. I tell my boys all the time, I said, when you think your back is against the wall, when you think you have no other choice, when people are telling you that peer pressure and you need to do this and do that, I said, there is always another way. If you don't remember anything else in life, you remember there is always another way. Abraham went up a mountain. He was about to sacrifice his child, okay? There was no other way around, but he knew. God was not gonna take something that he had worked so hard to give him. And what did he produce?
Hey.
Yeah. A whole ram in a bush. There is always another way. And so when my back is against the wall, when I've gone through things as a single mom, I remember to get prostrate on this floor, right? I remember to go and call out to him, because that's the same thing that took me through 20 years ago. You see what I'm saying? And there was always another way. That's where this book came from. This book came from there being another way. So how do we supplement our income? How do we adjust our lives? How do we, you know, pad our bank accounts? How do we show what God has given us? How do we show up in the world? How do we, you know, get to the next level, whatever that next level is, we ask him, you know, what is it that you have for me? What should I be doing right now? And you and I were talking about this before, so I'll let you ask me this question. But we were talking about this time of quarantine for those of us who aren't going through COVID and, you know, so many people are losing family members. God bless you guys. I'm praying for this to end. I've been pleading with God every day, praying. Collectively, and I believe that, you know, the word is true. If my people who are called by my name, if we would just humble ourselves, right, and pray that he would hear from heaven and heal our land, right? Nah. And so we talk about this, though. So what do you think? I'm gonna ask you a question.
I kind of like staying in the house, right? I do want it to end because I'm getting my best sleep. I'm living my best life, right?
Okay, so you were telling me that you were living your best life. But right, because so we were talking about this. I said that I think this time is two things for the people who've been working hard and going and doing and producing and creating and moving toward purpose and destiny. This is a time of rest. Yes. And for people who have been like, well, you know, I don't know. I want to do things, but I'm scared, or I don't know where to start or where to look or how to do. This is that time to really push out purpose. This is that time to create. This is that time to do more than what we've been doing, especially if God has blessed you to still have income.
Yes.
And all you got to do is get on the Zoom every day. Ciao.
And I'm
mad. I'm kind of salty. You hear me? I'm kind of salty. I'm like, so y'all teachers at home now? Now that I'm not full-time teaching, y'all at home now collecting checks and y'all talking about y'all don't know how to work Zoom? Are you kidding me? They got guys. Go to YouTube. Somebody did a video on it.
I'm thanking God for my check that keeps coming. I thank Amen. God.
Won't he do it?
Won't he do it? I'm thanking God. And I said, okay, I'm still getting paid. So the first couple of weeks, Oh my God. I laid in the bed and I mean, I did nothing because we've been in California, we've been off longer than everybody else. So I went to work on a Thursday. Friday was an in-service day for us. And that was the end of, I guess it was the end of, well, the beginning of March, whenever I came. I've been off so long, I can't remember when it happened. But we were supposed to go back that Monday. That Friday, they called and said we were out. School was just out. They didn't know we were coming back. And I was like, what? What are you talking about? And so, you at home? What? Oh, and you about to pay me? Oh, wait. I'm getting paid? Oh,
thank you.
This conversation, no. Bye. Get off my phone. Don't call me no more. I'll call you. And I pulled that blanket over my head. And I
won't
slept.
He do it. Thank and you, I Father.
Slept. And I just the other day, I put up a meme on Instagram that I done did what? I'm down to two bags. I've been doing laundry for like 4 days straight because I hadn't did laundry in like 6 months. So I was like, let me get in here and start doing this laundry. And then once I got past that, and I said, okay, now I'm bored. Okay, I'm good with watching TV. I don't have to go out. But let me use this time for something. And then it was so funny because when I said that, then I started seeing stuff on Facebook. People are like, well, what are you doing during this time? Is something life-changing going to happen during this time? And I was like, oh, you know what? That's true. You really need is to have something change out of this. And that's why I was like, that Kay Wanda Lamb, she done told them people how to write a book in a weekend. I need to get her on the show so that people can say, well, I did do this during this time. What's your outtake going to be when we come out of this? Did you buy some stocks? Did you change your life? Did you do
it? Listen, I'm waiting. Do you hear me? I'm waiting.
What's the outtake? What's gonna change? Or are you gonna be exactly the same? And if you always can say, well, I never had time to do it, now you got more time than you know what to do with. You got 24 hours a day, day in, day out, because I'm up at 3 o'clock in the morning because I've been sleeping so much in the daytime. I'm up in the morning. But I'm sitting on it, I'm teaching myself Adobe. You guys, I've told y'all this is my third time talking about it. I am teaching myself Adobe. And the funny thing is, I said I'm going to buy Rosetta Stone when this $1,200 check comes. If I'm blessed and fortunate enough for it to receive it, I'm going to go.
I'm not going to talk about Rosetta, but you better come over to SpanishWithSmallBusiness.com. where a real teacher will teach you Spanish.
But here's the funny thing. So like we said offline, y'all, I told Kay Wanda offline that here's the time now she should be holding Zoom classes. And Zoom just updated, for those of you who don't know up Zoom, Zoom updated their thing so that when she gets all her people that's supposed to be on, she can lock the meeting so nobody else can get in. There's this amazing little button that locks it.
Oh, I love Zoom. Oh, and so I actually, and so I told him, I was like, sir, that's what I've been doing for years. Well, and so I actually have a course that's starting on April 27th. And so I do two things at Spanish for Small Business. I teach you one-on-one for those business owners, entrepreneurs that need to learn their whole entire business process, how to communicate with their customers specifically for what they do. Then they can hire me or my staff one-on-one. And then if you are looking to learn general conversation around business, then that's what our course does. And so a lot of people just like, hey, I just want to learn how to communicate with my customer, how to, you know, learn the foundations of Spanish, you know, it's more economic. And so, you know, that's two ways to work with us. And so I'm super excited. My next offering is going to be for these moms who are going crazy. I'm going to do some homeschool lessons because people are, when I tell you I'm dying laughing as an educator and a mom, but I get it, right? Because my boys, they don't learn well from me either. You know, because kids just like, they think their parents don't know anything, but we're like, we got all the tea. You better learn to listen. And so these moms who are like, you saw that meme, Chris, that said, homeschool has been a mess. I told my son to just focus on his rap career.
Oh, I didn't see that.
I died. It was so funny. It's been going around the internet. And I cracked up laughing, but I felt that mom's pain. Like, I paused for a second. I was like, some mom wrote this and she really meant it. And we
are feel nobody's pain. None.
But she really meant it. And so I realized that that's an opportunity for me as a business owner. But then also to provide some goodness into the world. So I'm actually a certified principal, K through 12, and I am certified 6 through 12. But what's happened is over the years, I've taught all the levels up to adults. And so I have a master's in Spanish lit, right? So I can teach university level. And so I'm just trying to tell y'all, listen, I do this. Hablo español, enseño las clases, ¿no? Pues en línea también, en vivo. Entonces he estado enseñando por casi 14 años, yo creo.
And I'm still looking confused. If y'all at home, you know I'm looking confused because I barely speak English. I'm really confused.
So we do this. We do this. And so I have a lot in the works. And so I work two brands, right? I show up in the ways that God has blessed me. So, you know, people are like, what's the single mom brand, the Spanish brand, what's going on? I was like, they're both me. I'm a Spanish speaking single mom. I've been a single mother for 20 years and I've been an educator for 14. I mean, what do y'all want? You know, I've what I'm teaching other women to do. I've learned how to take my bankable skill, right? And to create a life for me and my children. And so my bankable skills are who I am. And that's one thing that I hope comes out of this ebook is that people will say, man, I'm really good at project management. Man, I'm really good at leadership. Listen, I'm the bomb hairstylist. Like I am an idea generator. And so when people tell me, I don't know what my book would be. If you talk to me, I could tell you just like that what your book should be about. I'm so serious. So if you're on the fence, hey, hit me up, message me, and I'll be glad to share with you. One of my things is clarity. So one of my gifts God has given me is clarity. One of my mom clients, my international mom clients, we've been building her business, her website, her brand, all of that out. She's just like every call, like, oh my God. I'm like, you know, God just gives me these ideas. And, you know, I've been in online marketing and the digital space for 7 years. So I know how to make stuff work.
Y'all see, she's been on it for 7 years, and I've been struggling with this Instagram stuff for, what, 6-7 months now?
You're doing great. You just pick your platform that you're good at. Like, my Instagram, I don't update it every day, every week, because you have
way more followers than me.
Well, that's okay, because followers don't matter. I know people who have less followers than me, and they're multimillionaires. So what we have to do, like, I don't focus. So for me, I have to say, where is the best use of my time? And that's where I spend it. You see what I'm saying? And so if you come to my page and you can go down my page and see what I do, then it served its purpose. Make sense?
Exactly.
It has served its purpose. I don't have to do stuff every day. But if you're looking for me, you can find me. I'm always dropping some tea on my Facebook page. Like I drop a quote there every day.
So y'all got to go to her Facebook page.
The Winning Single Mom is my Facebook biz page. Like I drop every day. I'm dropping some tea. Every day I'm dropping some inspiration. And I normally do something called Mom Chat, which is where, you know, we'll get together and I'll do like 30 minutes or an hour on a Sunday night. But I'm really wanting to move that to like a Saturday morning where it's kind of quiet before the house wakes up. But I'm telling you, like, we can go on and on and on, Chris, but I really appreciate you for giving me the opportunity to kind of share what it is that I do, share my, you know, story and share why this is the time that we should all be saying, you know, if we, and I don't want to take it there, but I know you're Christian, so I'm going to say it. You know, if we do not have a relationship with our Lord and Savior to take this time as well, to go there, to seek him, to ask. I know a lot of people are in fear and worry and, you know, just so much is going on, but we cannot lead our families in fear and worry.
Exactly.
Like we have to take charge. We have to build our faith. We have to increase our foundation. And so utilize this time to affirm yourself, affirm what you're doing, affirm how far you've come. You know, God did not bring me here to leave me. I don't know about you, but I know this is not my stopping place.
And that's why, I like I said, I really wanted people to get out of this today that you can do something during this time. Don't just get so stuck. And those of you that follow me, and you know, I've talked about the whole depression thing. And right now, like I say, I'm living my best life during this. Now, had this been like 2 or 3 years ago, I probably would be in the corner somewhere balled up, having a heart attack right about now. Mm-hmm. Because I battled clinical depression for like 10 years. Mm-hmm. And doing events at the same time. I could have an event, 400, 500 people show up for this event. It went well. It went amazing. Mm-hmm. And I'd go home and I'd be in the house crying. Mm-hmm. Just left. And you got pictures of me from the event. I'm out having a great time. And as soon as I hit the door, I'm crying. I can't even tell you why I'm crying.
Yeah.
I'm just in utter tears. And one day I was sitting in a church in Los Angeles and I was just like, God, I'm tired of this. This is just it. This gotta go. This gotta go. This depression thing just gotta go. And that day he instantly took it away from me.
Amen.
Instantly.
Amen.
And I have been able to end it. And it, the hard part that people don't get is that right after that, in the start of 2013, I had 13 people die in 11 months. Mm. Starting from my baby brother all the way to my father, into my aunt and cousins, best friends, everybody. So it was like when 2 weeks would pass, I'd have another death. A month would pass, I'd have another death. I couldn't tell who I was grieving for because I was just in a constant mode of grief.
Now, this was after the depression was released or during?
After the depression
was released. Oh, my God. My God.
I'm sitting here like, God, how did you take me out of this? And I'm about to go back. Because I'm about to lose my mind here. But during that time, I never fell back into the depression because I was just constantly, I was too busy grieving. And that's what I told people. If you trust God and believe God and stand on him, you're going to make it whether you want to believe it or not. You're going to make it. So right now, with me being in this house for over a month, depression would have took me out of here. But I've been just as happy-go-lucky. I'm telling you, living my best life. I've been joking and laughing about these parents who got their kids at home because I don't feel no sympathy for them, none. None, because as a school bus driver, when your little bad kids is on my bus giving me the blues, I want you to feel all that pain right now because you got them all day. I want you to feel it all. For that 25 an hour that they on my bus giving me blues, I want you to feel it all. So I'm like, I'm not, you can make it. You just have to know you can make it. And you have to set your mind to say, okay, I want something more. So for me, I was like, I'm going to learn Adobe Photoshop coming out of this bad boy. I'm going to do something different. Don't just take this time to sit and say, oh my God, woe is me, woe is me, woe is me. So I said, let me get some people on here that's going to encourage these people to absolutely do something else and put a fire up under their butts, because you can sit at home. You was doing that before we went into this crisis.
Listen, telling your story, you know, you just never know who it will help. I will tell you, when I first wrote this book, a white woman, I was surprised. You know, I wanted to reach all people, but I knew that I was an African-American woman. And so more than likely, most people following me would be African-American. And there, African-American women are the larger part of my audience, but Caucasian women, Asian women, Hispanic women, you know, women from all over the world, right? And this one white lady reached out to me, and she's such a sweetheart. We still keep in touch this day. And she said that she was dealing with a soul tie. And she said when she got to page 19 of my book, she knew she had to let this one guy go. Ooh. And that helped her. And I was like, oh, Lord, let me go check out page 19. And it was in that first chapter of dealing with heal. And so that's what I realized I had with my kids, Dad. It wasn't love. I wish it was, but it wasn't love. I had, you know, love is a choice. So I'd chosen to love somebody who I didn't fully know. Right. Because the plan wasn't to lose my virginity and have a baby, you know? And so all that messiness, you know, how do you tell your kids that? How do you explain that to your boys? Like, okay, so we weren't born out of love. Well, okay, it was close to it, something like it. I thought it was, but I love you, you know. Right. And so, you know, I don't have to have those conversations with them because that's my story. That's my and their dad's story. But what I realized is, you know, which is I'm trying to tie this into what you're talking about, is we have to make choices every day to keep going. Yes. We can let the stuff we've been through, the things people say about us, what we don't have, what we missed out on, we can let all of that stop us and we can stay in a standstill forever, or we can simply choose to move. I give God glory for your movement right now. I know people that are in the medical field are probably like, don't tell people that one day God just miraculously took your depression away. But we know that it's real.
It's real.
That That's the wonder-working power of God. And then there are people who do need to take their meds and people who do need to stay on and you know, to stay focused and to get through the season. But I'm so glad to hear your testimony. And I'm also glad that you care so much about your audience and the people you speak to, that you want to bring people on that uplift and encourage them. And so thank you for what you do with kids. I'm cracking up that you laugh, that you're laughing at the parents having the babies home now. But just know out there that there are resources. There are people who homeschool. Like I said, I'm doing something at the beginning of May where I'm going to be offering classes at different, you know, age groups to teach them Spanish during the week two times a week, because I want people to recognize that even though the world is shifting and things have changed, we're still going to need to communicate with each other. And this is a skill that is not going to go away. And trust me, I have international business. I'm a business major. I got about 4 or 5 degrees. I can work anywhere in the world. I can go back into education. I can lead schools. I can do all kinds of stuff. I can work in corporate America. This is my opportunity to chase the dreams that God put in my heart, for me to be the business owner and the businesswoman and to create the streams of income, the multiple streams of income that I know I deserve, I desire, and that will also leave a legacy for my boys. And so that's what this is about, guys. This isn't about she's making a lot of money, because I'm selling this at like such a low cost. I'm selling the ebook right now for $20. It's $20 for the ebook, guys. And what I'm saying to you, and then there's a course, a 9-part audio course that I totally recommend, that is there when you go, that you also get it, because nowhere on the planet are you going to learn to write a book for less than $60. And I'm talking
y'all
about
spent that on shoes. Y'all know y'all spent that on shoes. So you can go get something that's going to benefit you so you can afford that next pair of red bottoms.
Because it's not about, hey, this is how you write a book. It's helping you develop the process. It's helping you develop your message, which I didn't even have to put that in there. But again, like, who are you talking to? It helps you figure out who your audience is. And then I tell you how to publish. All of this is in the ebook. How to take payments, you know, what I use, everything. I put so much in that ebook. Like, people who are selling $500 courses and $1,000 programs are mad at me right now. And so right. It's not going to be this way for long. So when are you airing this podcast? Because by the, you know, I know that this Sunday, my plan was to increase the price because it is too low. It is very low compared to what I should be charging for it.
Lord, this drops on next Wednesday.
Oh, it drops next Wednesday. I will leave it up. I will leave the $20 price up for 2 weeks. That's what I'll do. I'll make sure that your audience gets it. And so, and then if we need to do like a code or something for your audience, I'll create that.
Because I got to get mine, because I got to support. I got to get mine.
It's on my link tree on my Instagram. Like, if you click on that, it's like, write your first book in a weekend. And then you can go to my website, kwandalam.com/ebooks. And it's there along with this other ebook that I created that's absolutely amazing, that helps them find love. Like, so when I started writing, I didn't just write like, how do you thrive as a single mom? I also got back into dating. I had to test the waters to see if there would be a man that would want to date a woman with kids. So I've written about that experience. I've hosted brunches called Brunch in Love. I have the signature event that I do. And I bring in top relationship experts together, like Derek Jackson, Paul Carrick Brunson, one of my friends and mentors, and lots of other people, Troy Spry, you know, people who are matchmakers in the space. And then myself with that experience and that wisdom from the single mom standpoint. And I, you know, do dating confidence coaching, but I don't do so much of that now because these products I created is just like having me coach you for less. Mm-hmm. And so I'm trying to tell you, like, if you're trying to figure out like how to supplement your income, maybe your job has decreased your hours, maybe you still get some pay, maybe you're furloughed, you want to sit down and write your story or write about what it is that you know. And so I have a process that shows you how to pick the right idea. And I'm telling you, it lays it all out. So, man, listen, I'm glad to be able to bless people right now. But I recognize, like, hey, I could be 1,000 air off of this instead of 100 air. So get it while I'm keeping the price up.
It's coming. Y'all know when we come off of this, I know our normal is going to be so totally different.
Lit. Lit. It's about to be lit for kingdom people. I'm people who are focused on what God is doing. Listen.
Kaywanda gonna come here. She gonna be, I'ma figure out some kind of brunch, something with some, y'all know I gotta have wine attached to it. Y'all know I'm a wine guy. So I'ma have some kind of thing where she can come here and y'all can get to speak with her and have this whole format, and I'll do a full wine tasting, and you know, my chefs will do brunch, because I do brunches too. Kaywanda did
that. I love it. I love it.
You know, I do an amazing brunch, so, and I do white parties. Y'all, I'm going to have
yes, bring me out. I love it. Let's do it.
Figure out when we come out of this, I'm going to say it again, if ain't nothing changed for you, it wasn't that you didn't have enough time. You just didn't have the will and determination to move forward to something else.
and you have a heart for people, so that's why this is bothering you so. And I love that. I love to see that, because that's what I feel about my single moms. Like, I'm like, listen, we're going to thrive. We're going to change these statistics that, you know, and I'm going to stop talking. But the thing that made me be like this was, one, my experience and what happened to me. And then two, when I would meet people who were married and they would turn their nose down. And I was like, boo, listen, you know, I'm over here counseling you. Like, I have been a counselor for 30 years, okay? And I'm like, guys, I'm not even married. And so all my married friends, single friends, everybody calls me, because, you know, I always want to give good wisdom, you know, and they know it's going to be sound advice and I'm going to be objective. But, you know, I never thought lowly of myself as a single mom just because I didn't have a mate. Exactly. And I felt like there was a huge disservice when I would meet people and they would be like, oh, you poor thing. And I'm like, listen, I'm looking at your husband right now, honey. And I just want you to know, he done looked at 4 or 5 different women up in here. You might want to go get that under control. Okay. Listen, if I got to have a man and he ain't like good to me, didn't make me increase in some way, then I don't need him. So this is why I have chosen to be single. I'm selectively single, honey. It's not that I couldn't have got married multiple times. I just knew that I didn't want that. Like, if I wasn't going to get what I needed from the dude I got kids by, I wasn't going to just get married so that I didn't have to say I was a single mom. And so I believe that's something that, you know, came from my grandmother. Like, she showed me, I learned from them, you know, like, she was married to my grandfather, Chris. And you know, the men back in the day weren't doing right. You remember the stories from the 60s and 70s and 40s and 50s?
Yes, yes. And it came right on, because I have a brother that is 4 months younger than me that I've never met. So it came right on.
Came right on. And so I didn't want that. And so this is my last thing. I will say this. You do not have to settle. You don't have to settle. You don't have to settle. And as soon as you can take the blinders off of your eyes and you can see again, ask God to help you see differently. Ask God to help you see his vision for your life. Ask him to help you look again. That's one of my favorite phrases, look again. You know, you do not have to settle, and you get to deserve and desire good love and to be able to take care of you and your babies and not stress and struggle and strain. And so sometimes it takes work, right? And I'm willing to do the work.
You have to put in the work. Y'all, I want y'all to know I'm so honored. I'm so grateful to have Kaywanda here today. It's amazing for me, because she has so much energy and she has so much that she can teach y'all, because she is the single mom. She has showed you how to do it right, not do it wrong, not be bitter and evil and all that. She has showed you the right way to do it. And she can give you the tools, because you need them sometimes. But you also have to know there has to be faith in there too. So for those of y'all that worship them weird things over there, you got to get Jesus. You got to know him for yourself. You got to know him for yourself. I can't help it. I'm Amen. A church boy at heart. I'm a church boy at heart. Oh, I'm a pastor's kid. I'm a pastor's kid. But thank you guys for listening. Make sure you share this. Make sure you go over, and in the notes, of course, I'll have her information where you can find her. Go buy her stuff. Do something positive during this time. Stay on your face in front of God all the way through, and share and share and share. And we'll see you again on the Christopher Terrence Show. Jones, what did I say? We'll see you again on the Christopher Terrence Jones Show. Can we talk? Did I say it right? I think I said it right. That y'all. These are being the bloopers, y'all. Y'all know how I am. We out. Have a great day.